there and welcome to Technology Gazette episode 25 for the 13th of May 2008. I love how that inflection I always start with always makes me sound like Alex Albrecht out of Dig Nation, so I apologise for that, any Dig Nation fans who may be listening. I would not want to mimic the great Alex Albrecht, so apologies for that. Anyway, so we're on episode 25 of Technology Gazette. And I realised that, I was just thinking about before we started today's show, realising I haven't thanked enough people for putting this show together. Well, you know, the first mention goes out to, now we're into this live show, the first mention will definitely go out to TalkShoe. Now, TalkShoe are obviously going to do a little promo at the beginning of this file, so you'll be able to hear what they do. And then just check it out, TalkShoe.com. This is how I'm doing my podcast now, and this is how... Yeah, sometimes you can hear some of the podcasts have someone else talking apart from me, and it's not because I've invited them on. They've came and they've found my podcast, and they're starting to listen to it, and they're joining in the conversation. So then they're joining the conversation, and I'm discussing with them, and it adds a far more exciting layer of, you know, different stuff with podcasting that I'm really excited about. So, you know, yeah, it's TalkShoe.com, so I'd like to thank them for giving us the chance to record live. Secondly, I'd like to thank FeedBurner. You know, they're an interesting service when I first used them, but now they're really great. You get a ton of statistics and, you know, a lot of different stuff. And, you know, a lot of people use it. It's a Google-owned service now. And, a lot of people use it. A lot of very big podcasters use it. And it's a very, very good tool. So that's FeedBurner.com. And I think that pretty much thanks everyone I want to for the podcast. And so I think if there isn't anything else, I don't think there's anyone else I need to thank. Of course, you listeners out there, you need to be thanked the most for tuning in to download the podcast, to come and listen live, because without you, this podcast would just be rubbish. So also, I'd like to take this time just to thank... I'd like to congratulate Daniel Brusilovsky. Now, you may have heard him on episode 6 of Technology Gazette. He came on, he runs the Apple Universe podcast, which is kind of like a really great Mac news and, you know, discussion type thing. And he's made it onto Crunchbase.com. Now, for those of you who don't know what Crunchbase is, it's basically, some of you may know the tech news site TechCrunch. Now, this is basically an extension of it, but, you know, they've got lots of different stuff. So anyway, so I was just talking about Daniel Brusilovsky and his achievement on Crunchbase. So well done to him. He's, he's done so much in the tech community, and I think, you know, this only shows further of how well he's been doing. So well done to Daniel. Okay, so we're going to move on to the main tech stories this week. And I've tried to organise these news stories as well, so they're a bit more sections, so you don't feel you're skipping from one part of tech to another, and that way you can kind of consume the media in a bit more of a more productive way, if you see what I mean. So we're going to start with an Apple story first of all, from the unofficial Apple web. Let's start that again. The unofficial Apple weblog. And the first story I found was the most, you know, fantastic thing for Canadian iPod owners. Now, Canadians have been, you know, moaning about the fact they haven't got the iPhone and they haven't got anything, you know, good. And I could say ditto to us for a lot of things that Canada have that the UK don't have. But, you know, that's just a pretty obvious one, and it's been like that forever. There's going to be a $45 credit going to iPod owners who purchased their iPods before June 24th, 2004. Now, these reports coming out telling you that 80,000 Canadians, which could include yourself if you live in Canada, could be eligible for a $45 credit from Apple. And this is a result, according to this article, of two class action lawsuits. And one of them is about the iPod battery dramatic decrease in capacity after 2 years of use. Now, you know, I've been reading a little bit about this here and there, about the fact that, you know, the iPod battery's been dying and too quick. And, 2 years is, I don't know how long that is, really, in comparison for an MP3 player. But I know I can see it right now. I've got my iPod Nano second generation. And I've had that for about 3 years now, and it's still holding out good. I can charge it up, and it can last me a full day, I guess. So I'm happy with it. But yeah, obviously these iPods that Canadians are buying, Apple are sending out a dodgy batch to them. They aren't doing as well, and Apple have been sued for this. I think it's fair enough what they're doing with the credit thing. Going towards the iTunes store, and you can see what they're trying to get at with it. But yeah, so that's good news for 80,000 Canadians that if you bought your iPod I like to say the word between for some reason. I mean the word before June 24th, 2004, then you may be entitled to a $45 credit from Apple. Okay, the next story is from Forbes.com. It's an interesting one, this. Someone did a little article, Brian Caulfield, to be precise, about, and it was titled, Why Apple Can't Kill the BlackBerry. Now, you know, there are many assumptions are made about this as to, you know, what it really means. Obviously, we know that Apple is the, you know, industry leader in touch-sensitive phones with its iPhone. But obviously, before the iPhone, RIM, who make the BlackBerry devices, were the market leader for the smartphones. And, you know, as soon as Apple came, it was a massive rush for everyone to get in doing a lot of what Apple were doing. Now, it seems that now that the BlackBerry have released a new model called the BlackBerry Bold, and apparently, you know, according to this article, they don't think that, you know, as BlackBerry's got its huge market dominance already for many years before the iPhone came out, they think that a lot of people will stick with the BlackBerry and the iPhone won't be able to penetrate as much of the market as it would be expected. So yeah, basically it seems as though they've timed this so well with releasing the new BlackBerry, because, you know, this whole shortage of iPhones right now, and many expecting the high-speed 3G iPhone coming through soon. In fact, there was even a date put on this article, which was something I wasn't quite expecting, but I read it was June 9th, and I realised that was the WWC convention, which is the Apple Developer Conference. You know, that makes sense. That's the kind of date I was estimating for it. But we'll have to see on that one. I think, you know, as the shortages keep coming and coming and coming, it's so blatantly obvious in my eyes anyway that, you know, Apple are going to bring out 3G mobile, and, you know, I think it's about time now. Anyway, back to this article. So, yeah, so my thoughts on this really are that, you know, I can understand how BlackBerry have a big dominance in the business market. You know, as Apple starts to become more enterprise-like and it starts to move in with doing lots more Microsoft Exchange stuff and lots more different applications, you know, I can see them trying to get a BlackBerry, but I think there's so many people and perhaps a lot of companies that have invested in the BlackBerry itself. So it'll be an interesting thing to see perhaps when the 3G iPhone comes out, and we'll see what that really brings for businesses, if it's going to be a more of a sort of what they want, really. We'll have to see on that one. But yeah, this is certainly good analysis of both Apple and BlackBerry, but I certainly don't think that, you know, we can't just say that Apple won't be able to kill the BlackBerry. It's just unlikely that they will be able to kill the BlackBerry. So yeah, I don't know. It's an interesting one, that one. Okay, so the next article from news.yahoo.com is, you know, we move on from why Apple can't kill the BlackBerry to the most ambitious statement I think a company in this sort of last couple of weeks after Microsoft and the Yahoo's finished. Microsoft decide that they want to aim for 40% of the smartphone market with Windows Mobile by the year 2012. Now, as this is sort of 4 years away, it could be a relatively easy target, but, you know, in that time I see the iPhone really going a lot further in its strides to beat the BlackBerry, beat Symbian and all those other platforms. But I think it's almost safe to say that, as I said, that and the BlackBerry is in the business market, Windows Mobile is in the business market too. It just happens that more people started with the BlackBerrys way back when, and it just carried through. But obviously now we're with Windows Mobile 6.1, and you know, and apparently according to this article, the OS went into 11 million handsets in 2007, and apparently according to these statistics, it's going to reach 20 million devices in 2008. And they put the fiscal year 2008, which ends June 30th. So, you know, 9 million devices is quite a big thing. And they've obviously, you know, done a lot towards it. And also it's mentioned about the fact of the new HTC Touch Diamond, which, you know, I had a look at it. It looks quite good. And again, HTC Touch, the biggest competitor to the iPhone, I think, in my opinion. And if they can do really well and have Windows Mobile on their handset, then you know there could be a good fight for Microsoft to get that 40% of the market. But I don't, you know, it's hard to say. You look at it two ways, really. You say that Apple are the interactive, and you know they did a survey the other day. The fact that saying that, you know, all the people that use them are usually sort of less than 30, maybe in their teens, and you know, it says something about the fact it's Apple, and it does a lot of stuff, a lot of great stuff, but for businesses, I wonder how serious they would be about, you know, adopting an iPhone into a larger scale organization. It's hard to say, but we'll have to see as Apple develops its enterprise stuff a lot further. It's doing some fantastic work, and I only think it can get better. So we're going to have to see on this one. And you know, it's really funny, I always realised the fact that I always finished with the most boring ending. Excuse me. I always say, well, we've just got to see on this one. Hello, John B. Speedy, and guest who, welcome to the live Technology Gazette with... Okay, right, so yeah, we're just talking about the smartphone market. We're just talking about Microsoft and the iPhone and BlackBerry, and the fact that Microsoft seems so ambitious and it's 40%, you know, dominance of the smartphone market. And just, you know, if you want to chime in with anything, please feel free to do so. Just text chat, or do feel free to just call in, and the number is 12-1724-444-444, and then the caller ID is 15120. So yeah, feel free to call in, or via the Shoe Phone. You can see it down the right hand side of your screen. You simply click connect and you'll be live on Technology Gazette on TalkShoe. Alright, so we're going to move on to the next story now. Okay, so this one's from SeekingAlpha.com, which has, you know, actually become my favourite place to go. I really love their sort of analysis on a lot of different subjects around the tech world right now. So, you know, it's definitely one of those things I'm really excited about. Seeing all these analysis websites starting to come out, like Yahoo.com. They did in the news area. They do some fantastic analysis, and SeekingAlpha.com is also another one of my big favorites. So, yeah. Anyway, this next article is about the whole idea of social streaming now. Music streaming, sorry, let me correct myself there. So, years it's been the boring old subject of, oh, we're going to DRM this. Oh, wait, someone's gone and stolen it off peer-to-peer. Oh, no, wait, they're back again. Oh, it's okay, we thought of DRM-free, but it still works. So, anyway, there's this whole new concept coming in about social streaming. Now, this is kind of just explained in my opinion. I don't really know if this is justifying it enough. But, you know, I think in my opinion, the whole thing about every company trying to look for a free way for consumers to get their music and a way for them to still make money, sort of like the ad-supported networks like Sony BMG, they released a one called WE7.com, which was an ad-supported network where you could download some of Sony's back catalogue for free, not all of it. Just some of it, and you know, it wasn't a fantastic selection, I must admit, but I haven't been on there recently, so again, we can just check back at that and see how it's doing. But anyway, so I think this is going more into the thing of the fact, like it says, the article, that the consumers don't pay for music at any price, which, you know, I don't know. I think, you know, this whole social experiment that Radiohead and Trent Reznor were all trying, to see how much people would pay. A lot of people did do it free, but some people paid, and other people, I think, enjoyed the fact that they could pay, say, like $5 for something that a record industry label would usually charge you $12 or $15 for. And, you know, that's a kind of social interactiveness, you know, that's coming into things, I think. And the more people that do that, I think the more the record labels are going to come and notice it a bit more. And, you know, so... And apparently, according to statistics collected from Compete.com, and, yeah, the online music sites that were most, you know, the fastest growing out of the whole of last year were P2P download sites, peer-to-peer. Such as the Pirate Bay, Mininova, ISOHunt.com, Torrents.com, TorrentReactor.net, and yeah, and so on and so forth, so forth. And yeah, so it's, you look at it as well with the fact that Yahoo had to pay back. Was it Yahoo and, you know, I can't remember who it was. There was two companies, Yahoo and. Real Networks, that was it, Real Networks. Yahoo and Real Networks had to pay something like $100 million back to artists for the fact that they stream their music. Obviously, Yahoo operates a service called Launchcast and Real Networks with their Real Networks. And so, and also we can see further down this article that they're starting to look at the top 20 streaming music sites. And we see a huge difference in the numbers between peer-to-peer file sharing sites and streaming music sites. Now, we start with iMeme.com, which in March 2008 got 10,268,904. And we go down and we've got other ones like music.myspace.com. Now, you know, I start to think about if they quote this in their title as the music industry downfall, how, in one sense, are you supposed to spread this music further than showing someone on MySpace or something like that? You know, it's just one of those things. To have it downloadable, to have it put onto an MP3 player, burnable to CD, whatever. You know, something that's just a bit more accessible for people as they're out and about. And, you know, it's a good point that I think they make about everything. And certainly, you know, the social streaming sites such as MySpace, such as Yahoo, have seen big increases in traffic, but I don't think it's going to last. I don't think the whole idea of streaming, I don't know, for me, just have it on a website and not be able to take it with me, not be able to enjoy it when I'm out and about, it just doesn't really make sense. And they go on to mention about the fact that a lot of people might link to it, which is true, because you're starting to increase sort of people's awareness of certain artists, but at the same time they're still getting stuck at a streaming music site. They're not having that opportunity to download the media, and so I think it loses the point a little bit. And I certainly agree that as much as streaming music is really great, I don't think it's going to last. Certainly, you know, in the long run, I don't see these numbers staying up as high as they do. I'd love to be proven wrong on that one. That'd be really great to see streaming music doing better than downloadable media, but I think at the end of the day, it's probably not going to be that likely. Okay, we're on to the next story now from Mashable.com. And yeah, this kind of goes to something I was doing today. And, you know, Technology Gazette is listed in iTunes. We've got about three different feeds of the same name. And basically, because I'd started up with another host, and then I tried to delete it, and it wouldn't do so. And also, just a quick mention as well, if you're listening on TalkShoe and you want to listen to the live conversation that's been going on today, then you can go into iTunes and type in Technology Gazette, and you'll see a little result saying Technology Gazette Live. So now you can listen to the live conversation on a weekly basis, and it will be released a couple of hours after the show. And yeah, you'll be able to get all the information that everyone brought up from today's show. So yeah, so this is all about the fact that Zoom Marketplace is now Microsoft Zoom. Let me explain that before I jump straight into it. Microsoft Zoom Music Player, for those of you who don't know, is the iPod rival. It's a massive screen, and it's got, you know, I haven't tried it because of course they're yet to bring out the third version of the player, But anyway, this Zune Marketplace is equivalent to iTunes Store, so just to give you some perspective there. Anyway, so yeah, it looks as though they're going to be expanding their public directory for podcasts. Now, you know, this article was saying if you want to be heard above all the podcasts in the iTunes directory, you might want to consider going to Zune Marketplace. Now, the weird thing is that if you actually go on there, if you're part of a podcast and you're looking to promote yourself, then I certainly would recommend sort of promoting yourself as far and wide as possible. But Zune Marketplace is, you know, backed by Microsoft and is going to have fantastic success in the near future, I think. And so, yeah, anyway, so, you know, if you're involved in that and you've noticed that they're only accepting 1,000 feeds into their directory right now, which is a very, very small percentage of what's to come. You'll be glad to know that by November 13th, or starting on November 13th, you'll be able to submit your podcast into the directory, and you won't be limited at all. So yeah, go ahead with that one. So the Zune Marketplace is going to start accepting wider scale podcast submissions on November 13th. Okay, right, so we're on to some video gaming news now. And the first story I picked up from Engadget.com was all about the fact that the Xbox 360 may be getting a smaller case design in 2009. So, not only have we been talking about what peripherals are going to go with the Xbox 360, such as the Blu-ray player that, you know, Microsoft don't want to put in just yet, certainly, it's, you know, they're talking about making a smaller case, smaller design, maybe rival to the Wii, dare I say. I still think it would need to be a fairly substantial device so it can fit in all those components and they don't need to subsidize and stuff. But it looks like, according to this article, as it quotes here, it looks like that planned 45 nanometer combined CPU, GPU, motherboard design is coming into the redesigned smaller case, end quote. So, I can't really decide whether a smaller Xbox 360 works. Does a smaller form factor for a 360 make sense? Is it still too stuck as a hardcore video gamer's console, which needs to be fairly chunky to sort of represent that kind of thing? Or is it better for people who don't have that kind of space? Is it going to be a better idea for many gamers? But we will certainly have to see on that one. And yeah, so rumours are from Engadget.com that the Xbox 360 will get a smaller case revision in 2009. Okay, we are just coming to the end of the podcast now. I'm just picking up the last two articles. And the first one comes from Slashgear. Again, another one of my favourite websites. And I'm starting to pick up a good few of these now, and I'm starting to collect them all in my Google Reader, which some of you may notice I've actually started to share items from it now. So if you want to go and check that out, you can go out to Google Reader and search up my name and you'll find what I'm sharing during the day. Anyway, let's get back to this story. And so, Nintendo Wii. So we were just talking about the 360. Now we're on to another piece of video game news. It's all about the Nintendo WiiWare, which is, you know, it's really funny. When I first heard the title, I thought it was going to be an extension to Wii Fit or that kind of thing. But it's actually a way for developers to develop and distribute games onto the Nintendo Wii. So on WiiWare, the titles that will be available are Final Fantasy Crystal Chronicles, Lost Winds, Defend Your Castle, Pop, VIP Casino Blackjack, TV Show King. So, some fantastic games there. No, in all honesty, you know, they do look good games. Haven't seen any screenshots yet, so I'm going to have to go and check on that one. But certainly, you know, it's a good selection of games to start off with on WiiWare. And yeah, you can go and buy some from the Wii Store as well. You can go and stock up on some Wii Points. And make sure, according to this article, you picked up yourself an SD card to go with it so that you can, you know, enjoy a lot more of them. So, yeah, Nintendo launches WiiWare. Alright, we're on to the next article from the Redshow.co.uk, and it seems that Microsoft's getting into trouble again. But I had to be in two minds about this whole thing. You know, at first I thought almost that Microsoft would be the mean person out of all this, but, you know, I read a bit further down and It appears the, you know, the stupid computer manufacturers such as HP who are taken in this example in the article. And yeah, according to this, and the Service Pack 3 for Windows XP has wreaked havoc on PCs. According to this article, the endless reboot cock-up reported by many XP consumers is not a new issue, which, you know, I thought, oh, okay, so Microsoft didn't bother patching it. Oh, that's great. And then I read down, and then it says more about the fact that the companies actually knew, and then Microsoft actually issued guidance to them, telling them only to load Windows XP images on like hardware in 2004. So, you know, that's the point I turned around, and they've even been really good to themselves, and they've actually gone and updated their KB, which is, for any of those affected, is 888372, and that's 888372. And so yeah, so for once I'm not going to criticize Microsoft for anything. It's going to be more HP for being so stupid to do that. It's, you know, it's so so yeah, so that's an interesting thing that Microsoft's done, and they've just been a bit, they've been a bit better with what they've done. It was weird that HP were so stupid to not do what Microsoft said. For once Microsoft were telling the truth, guys, so you know, it's always worth your while. Well, another thing I did want to mention in today's podcast was the fact that I, you know, I've mentioned this podcast, and even the host joined me on episode 19, and that guy I was talking about is Joe Gamer, better known as Andy. He joined me on episode 19, so if you ever want to go back and listen to what he does, then go and check out episode 19 of Technology Gazette. Don't forget, you can hear the podcast archives. I completely forgot about that. You can hear the podcast archives at podcast.technologygazette.com. You can just browse through those. So anyway, so back to this. Yeah, so he runs the Joe Gamer Radio podcast on talkshoe.com. It's the site you're listening to right now. Or you're downloading this and you haven't heard about it. So remember, that's talkshoe.com /TC/15120. For this call. So anyway, so yeah, he's been doing some fantastic work with his wife Melissa. They are two fantastic people, and they are really working so hard on doing a video game podcast, and they call it the Casual Video Gamers Podcast. And right now it only seems to be me in the chat, and I think we need to get a couple more people on board with this, because they do some fantastic stuff, and I think the first time you hear them you'll really enjoy what they do. And again, they're live on TalkShoe as well, so you can join in a live conversation with them. So it's all this whole thing about introducing new levels of interactivity for podcasts. And so yeah, I really encourage you to get over there. I'm just trying to find the link right now, just before I... Okay, right, I think I'll just leave a link in the show notes to that one. But yeah, please do make sure you head on over to there. I'm actually having a live conversation on TalkShoe tomorrow. And you'll be able to find it in the show notes, and I'll leave a little link on what time it's going to be at. So, yeah, so that wraps up today's Technology Gazette. A little longer than usual, I think. I'll probably edit it down, take up a load of messed up stuff that I went horribly wrong on. And it feels like I haven't been doing this podcast for a while, but it's only been since last week, so, you know. So once again, I'd like to thank you, TalkShoe, for providing us the access to do this live show. Also, to anyone who joined in the conversation today, I'm sorry I didn't have anyone else you could talk with. We had one person who was trying to get onto the call. My apologies for TalkShoe messing up on that, messing up on you like that. And you know, it was really funny. Before I started, TalkShoe decided to not let me in. I was getting closer and closer to time. I was like, oh no, I'll not get on. And so I did eventually, but you know, so TalkShoe can be a funny thing sometimes, but you know, it's good fun. So yeah, I'd like to thank you, TalkShoe.com, for their providing the service. Also to Jellycast.com, don't forget, if you want to go and get your own podcast, if you're based in the UK, you can get it for about £10 for a 25 gig limit. And yeah, and then you can use a combination like I use with a feed burner and Jellycast, and you can send through your podcast to be automatically synced. But that's another podcast altogether. I'm now just rambling on. So yeah, let's wrap up today's show for the 13th of April 2008. This was Technology Gazette episode 25. Bye.